Haskell Street, Helena, California, April 5, 1909. Elder Haskell Box, 597, Oakland, California. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, I wish to write you a few lines. I earnestly hope and pray that the Lord will encourage and bless you in the carrying out of the plans formed for the advancement of His work. From the light the Lord has given me from the first to the present time, I have but one testimony to bear in regard to our educational work. We are to make the Word of God the basis of our instruction, for no other book will so ennoble the thoughts and feelings and aspirations as will the Holy Scriptures. In this sacred book, the will of God is revealed to men. Here we may learn how to improve the time given to us in this present life. Through a perfect knowledge of His will, we may know what the Lord expects of us, whom He has formed in His image. Let us give an example of thorough study and belief of the Word. Let us seek to satisfy the questionings of minds and hearts that are seeking to secure, through obedience to the Word, translation to heaven, and the association of pure and holy angels. We have need to educate the students continually in an understanding of that wisdom which the Word of God reveals. The Bible is second to no other book. It is without a rival. A knowledge and acceptance of its teachings will impart vigor and health of mind. A comprehension of its teachings requires the student to grasp the knowledge of God's infinite will. The Word of God teaches men and women how to become the sons and daughters of God. No other book, no other study, can equal this. The principles it instills, like the power and nature of its author, are omnipotent. It is capable of imparting the highest education to which the mortal mind can attain. Upon the mind of every student should be impressed the thought that education is a failure unless the understanding has learned to grasp the truths of divine revelation, and unless the heart accepts the teachings of the gospel of Christ. The student who, in the place of the broad principles of the Word of God, will accept common ideas and will allow the time and attention to be absorbed in commonplace, trivial matters, will find his mind becoming dwarfed and enfeebled. He will lose the power of growth. The mind must be trained to comprehend the important truths that concern eternal life. I am instructed that we are to carry the minds of our students higher than it is now thought by many to be possible. Heart and mind are to be trained to preserve their purity by receiving daily supplies from the fountain of eternal truth. The divine mind and hand has preserved through the ages the record of creation in its purity. It is the Word of God alone that gives to us an authentic account of the creation of our world. This Word is to be the chief study in our schools. Here we may hold converse with patriarchs and prophets. Here we may learn what our redemption has cost the one who was equal with the Father from the beginning, and who sacrificed his life that a people might stand before him redeemed from every common earthly thing and renewed in the image of God. God has a work for everyone to do. I would say to all whose names are on the church books, are you laborers together with God? Christ left the royal courts and gave his life that he might save the souls who were perishing in their sins. Yet there are those who profess his name, who refuse to act a self-denying, self-sacrificing part. They will not consecrate their lives to the service of him who gave his life to save sinners. There are many who recognize the work to be done, but they act as many acted at the time of the San Francisco earthquake. They saw work that needed to be done, but they refused to be inconvenienced in order to meet the issue. They live over again the actions of the priest and Levite who, seeing the poor man wounded and bruised by the roadside, seeing his need of help they could give, passed by on the other side. The spirit of the Savior is represented in the action of the Good Samaritan. He, when he saw the sufferer, pitied his helplessness and his suffering, and rendered him the help he needed. He sought to relieve his sufferings and carefully dressed his wounds. Then, placing him upon his own beast, he took him to an inn for shelter, and, leaving him in the care of the keeper of the inn, paid his expenses, saying, "Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Luke 10, verse 35. All heaven looked upon this scene, in which was represented the pity and compassion of Christ, and the neglect and false reasoning of the priest and Levite. The Savior, in his representation of this experience, and his rebuke of the indifference and neglect shown by those who should have been the first to render help, reproves all who are guilty of similar indifference and neglect. April 11th, 19 I, Loma Linda, California.
I shall be very pleased to see the Buena Vista matter settled. If the Lord will give us understanding how to manage this transaction, we will glorify His name. On Sabbath morning, I spoke under the pepper trees on the sanitarium lawn to the patients and the Loma Linda church members. My voice was strong and could reach to all. On Monday evening, we expect to leave Loma Linda for our journey to College View. The teachers and students have asked that I speak there. From College View, we shall go to Nashville, and then to Washington, if the Lord wills. I have felt greatly burdened by the uncertainty that has been hanging over the Buena Vista purchase. For months, I have not had a full night's rest. But since I have been on this journey, I have slept more than usual. I am praying that the Lord will bring this long-delayed business transaction to a favorable settlement. I will not be faithless, but will believe that the Lord is working for us. I shall hope to hear from you, Brother Haskell, as soon as you learn anything definite regarding the settlement of the Buena Vista purchase. We shall meet you, if the Lord will, at Washington. Let us believe, and let us pray with heartfelt faith.